How many of you are familiar with what happened in the captivity of Judah? How many of you are familiar with what happened in the captivity of Judah? Now, Judah was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, as Jeremiah prophesied would happen. And they were taken away into Babylon for 70 years. God said it would be for 70 years, exactly. Now, 70 is important because it's about a complete work, a complete time. See, 7 isn't about perfection, it's about completion. It's about completion. A done deal. 7 is complete. When you talk about something in reference to 7 in the scripture, you're talking about the whole tamale. Something complete. Like the seven seals of the seven seal scroll. That's the complete revelation of Christ, isn't it? When we talk about the seven churches, we're talking about the whole church. You see the point? How many of you can see that? The emphasis is on completion. 6 days God created, and seventh He rested. He was done. It's about completion. For 70 years, Judah was taken into captivity. A complete time for God to do a work. Right? Now, when Nebuchadnezzar came in, he destroyed the temple. And he also took all the temple furnishings of the gold and silver bowls and chargers, all the articles of gold and silver, all the articles of worship in the temple, he took with him into Babylon, as well as the people. Right? A symbol for completion, more like 7 is, don't he? But he did that, didn't he? Can you see the idea of him taking out of the articles of worship out of God's temple was the same as him taking all the people of Judah into captivity, chosen vessels of the Lord? That's the point, isn't it? Chosen vessels of the Lord. Taking all the articles of gold and silver out of the temple into captivity with him was like a picture of him taking all of Judah, God's chosen vessels, into Babylon. Now notice what he did when he got them into Babylon. He broke them up into little groups so they couldn't get together and rebel and spread them all across Babylon. How many of you know that? He broke them up into little groups and spread them all across Babylon so they couldn't get together and rebel. Took them into captivity. Destroyed the city, destroyed the sanctuary, and it was a done deal. Now, at the end of that 70 years, the Medes and the Persians overthrew Nebuchadnezzar, and Cyrus the Mede said this. He said, God has told me to build his house. So he released the Jews back into Jerusalem, back into Judea, to go back and build God's house. And they started to filter back to the land. But when they started to get there, they didn't immediately start building the temple. They started building their own houses. Now, I want you to see all of this as a picture, because this is what exactly has happened with Christianity. Let's look at it in another way. Okay? We didn't have a literal 70 years, but 7 is a complete time, isn't it? And it's symbolic. Right? Isn't it true that Christianity was taken into captivity by Babylon? Look at it. It's true, isn't it? When the early church died out, that was like the temple being destroyed, wasn't it? And the chosen vessels, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, were all taken into captivity. Yeah. You can see that, huh, Steinbeck? And we went into captivity to paganism. And what's more, we were separated in little groups, like today, denominations, so we couldn't get together and rebel. No unity. See it? But now the time has come to come back. I want you to see Solomon's temple, that first temple, as a picture of the early church. It was the first temple. Now, let's look at some of the things around it. Solomon was the son of David. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? He's the son of David. David said no. David was told, no, the Lord told him, you can't build my house. You've got blood on your hands. But your son will. Solomon built it. Well, who's Jesus? The son of David. What's his house? His house is the church. Now, as Solomon's temple was destroyed and razed to the ground down to its foundations, so we can see that that kind of thing has happened in the church. And after 70 years, they were released back to build God's house. And you sense the prophecy. The glory of the latter-day house will be greater than that of the former. Well, we're being released back now to the land, aren't we? To build God's house. This last day's church. And it's got to be built on the same foundations as the first temple. Those two temples are bookends. Those two temples are bookends. Just like the early church and the last day's church are bookends. How many of you can see that? They're bookends. Now, I want to read you Haggai with this understanding. And I want you to compare it to what's going on now. Now! Not just in Haggai's day, now! On the second year, this is the book of Haggai, verse 1, chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehoshaphat, the high priest. Now, I want you to see something about these two. How many of you know a priest and a king always ruled over Israel? Priest for the religious things and king for the law. King for the law, priest for the prophets. The law and the prophets. See, it's an expression of that, isn't it? How many of you can see that? The priest and the king are expressions of the law and the prophets. Well, Zerubbabel and Joshua, in the restoration of Jerusalem here, are a picture of this, the law and the prophets. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, and Joshua was the high priest, the law and the prophets. Now, the law and the prophets are the two great witnesses. Right? The law and the prophets. Can y'all see that? It's a lot like the Logos and the Rhema. The Logos is the exact word, the written word, and the Rhema is the revelation of the word. See it? The law and the prophets. The revealed word and the revelation of the word. The revealed law and the revelation of the law. The two must work together, just like the word and the Holy Spirit work in you. Two witnesses. Get it? And so God says to Haggai, to Zerubbabel and Joshua, the governor and the high priest, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Now, let me ask you, seriously, isn't that what they're saying all around us right now? All of these denominations, all of these TV preachers, all of these well-known entities, oh, it's not time for us to be unified. It's not time. It's not time to come together. Isn't that what they're saying? When you approach these people who call themselves Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostals, isn't exactly that what they're saying? All right, this is going to get great, guys. Praise God. They say it's not time for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to believing in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now that's my question to the world right now. That's God's question to all of the Christian people. Is it time for you to live in your own houses while God's house remains a ruin? Is it time for you to remain in your house, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, Catholics? Is it time for you to remain in yours while the unity of the faith is in a ruin? Is it? See, that's your houses. God wants His house to be built. His house. Ooh. Think about that for a moment. While this house remains a ruin. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You planted much, but you've harvested little. Wow. Isn't that the truth? Isn't there a great harvest out there of the world that will never come into Christianity the way it is? Isn't that true? Isn't there a great harvest of people who will never come into the church the way it is? And they're out there sowing their seeds. They're out there trying to make converts. But it's coming to little, isn't it? You eat, but you never have enough. They eat of the Word of God, but they don't have enough, do they? You drink, but you never have your fill. They drink of the Spirit, but they never have enough, do they? You put on clothes, but you're not warm. Their righteousness is as filthy rags. They put on their own righteousness. They're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. We store where? In heaven. Where neither thieves nor rots nor moths can corrupt. You begin to see this? How many of you are beginning to see the picture here? It's exactly what's in front of us, isn't it? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Verse 7. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, the heavenlies, prayerfully, together. Go into the mountains and bring down timber, the men that God will send. Timber are men. You know that, right? The men that God will send. And build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. We've got to go to God. We've got to go to God to see what He will provide. We've got to go into the mountains, the heavenlies. We've got to come together and go up and talk to our Lord. We've got to go together and bring down what God will give us to build His house. You see it? That I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord? Because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with his own house. You've got your own idea of ministry. You've got your own idea what this is about. And you're not paying attention to what my idea is. So I've blown on what you've done. It's come to nothing. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. Heaven has withheld the fullness of the Spirit and the signs and the wonders. And the earth has withheld its crops because of that. We are not bringing in a harvest, are we? Of people to God. I've called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine and the oil, and whatever the ground produces of men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehoshaphat, the high priest and the whole remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people and said, I'm with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehoshaphat. And we're talking now about those two anointings of the law and the prophets, the spirit. Those two anointings. We're going to talk more about those two anointings. and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people, and they came together to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God. Okay. So you see, can you see? Now, let me just ask you this then. As we go on in chapter 2, I'm not going to read all of this. This is what the Lord Almighty says, and this is in chapter 2, verse 6. In a little while, I'll once more shake the heavens and the earth. That's our time, guys. The sea and the dry land. And I'll shake all the nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord God Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. The last day's church will be greater than that of the former church. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm going to save Zechariah for a later time. But can you begin to see that Zerubbabel and Joshua are pictures of the two great witnesses, and all the remnant of the people are the people who come together to build God's house under the administration of these two great witnesses? This is direct prophecy of the last day's church, guys. And the glory of the latter day house will be greater than that of the former. Can you begin to see it? It's time to build God's house. That's where we're at. It's time to build God's house. The word of that is just beginning. But it's time. And all those articles of gold and silver are a picture of the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the pastors and the gifts of the Spirit. They're being returned to build this house. This temple has to be built on the foundation of the first temple. The foundation of Jesus as the head of the corner of the and the teaching of the apostles and prophets. Can you see it? And God is supplying, just like Jesus gave us to the church gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. God is, go up and bring down timber from the mountains, get it? Go into the heavenlies. God will provide. It's time now to build God's house. This is just part one of this, and we're going to talk tomorrow about the rest of it. Zechariah 4 and Revelations 11. So that you can see truly what Zerubbabel and Joshua are pictures of. And how this is absolutely true. Because there's the direct correlation. I've just given you the figurative one. We're going to see the direct correlation to this tomorrow. Amen?